All right, welcome, welcome. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
So we want to welcome you to another Simplify Complexity podcast. We are always honored that you would join us, that you would listen in no matter where you're at. You are listening to a three-part series with special guest Dana Tyler, and we're discussing the question, should you end a relationship due to a lack of attraction? We started out by first talking about newly formed relationships, that dating phase, and then we transitioned and talk about those deep-seated relationships, more of a committed relationship. Now we want to talk about marriages, and we want to explore what do you do when your attraction for your spouse is waning. But before we get to that, first I want to thank some of our listeners who give comments on our social media on Instagram. This one comes from Yujito. She says, just found your podcast page randomly during the week, and I love it. You both are so real. Thank you for your teachings. Yujito, thank you so much for giving a shout out. If you're out there, please follow me at Brian E. Don't forget the E. Wallace, or you can follow Keontae at Keontae McDonald. Like McDonald's. So if you want to give a shout out, if you want to say thank you, whatever it is, we would love for you to follow us and to let us know how you're enjoying this podcast. It means a lot, and we'll definitely try to mention you on the podcast. With no further ado, let's get back to our discussion. Because I know that there are married couples that are listening to this and they're saying, I'm not attracted to my husband anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not attracted to my wife anymore. What should I do?
Okay, you have to hold fast to your vows that you took. The vows that you took were for better or for worse. You know what I mean? It didn't say, you know, you're going to get married and you're going to stay married. But if the looks start declining, then maybe you got some wiggle room. It didn't say that. It said for better or for worse, till death do us part. And you have to remember that.
I'm hearing you, but I want to put my shoes in one of our listeners. Uh-huh. And that's much easier said than done when you're living day after day after day with somebody you don't like, with somebody right. that you might begin to despise. Mm. So how do you deal with that? What do I do? I mean, so you're saying that I'm stuck?
I think that goes back to Brian, where you have to take into consideration that your marriage is going to be for a lifetime. And I think you have to really prepare for that. And you have to prepare to date your spouse for the rest of your life. I think instead of looking at it as, you know, this really huge transition from courting into marriage, that you're now just eliminating all the other options. You're deciding to perpetually date this person. So you're going to continually explore them. You're going to continue to woo them. And in those times where it does get difficult, like Keontae said, that's when you have to hold on to the values and the things that you loved about that person. And, you know, bring those things to your remembrance.
That's a good thing, what you just said. The key thing is that is continuing to date your spouse. You know what I mean? You have to set aside time and create date nights and create that atmosphere where you continue to fall in love with each other over and over again. You know what I mean? That's right. What me and my wife do.
The routines of kids and day-to-day life and bills and stuff, it will easily drain, you know, whatever attraction you might have for your spouse.
Well, I want to bring that together for our listeners and help them understand. And this is what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is this. You didn't get there overnight.
Right.
And so understand that, yes, you might be in a really bad situation. You might be in a horrible situation. You're just like, God, I don't know what to do. But understand, you didn't get there overnight. It was a process, and it was a process of not cultivating. That's a key word that I'm hearing. Everything that you said, Dana, everything that you said, Keontae, is what are you doing to cultivate, to keep that marriage fresh, to keep yourself dating, to keep yourself wooing one another? And those are the things that we have to do. That's what's so important to maintain that type of healthy relationship. And then I want to say this, and I want to get you guys' thoughts, is it's not going to come back overnight. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take work. It's going to take a process. And an analogy I like to give is this. It's like the front lawn. You have a house, right? And in this house or this front lawn, you keep looking at this front lawn and you're like, man,
I don't feel like mowing it. So you wait a week. And then you look at the front lawn the next week, right? And you're like, oh, it's worse. I don't feel like mowing it. And so then you keep doing that after about 3 or 4 months. You kept looking at this problem, and the problem didn't get better on its own. The problem kept getting
worse.
And so, therefore, when you do decide to mow the front lawn, because at some point you're going to have to deal with it, now all of a sudden you have this much harder issue. And so just understand, getting back to a healthy place with inside of your marriage is not going to be an easy process, but it is possible.
Yeah, that's good.
And you have to, just like you said, you have to be vigilant about those warning signs so that it doesn't become this major issue. And I think that's where communication and improving your communication really comes into play, because sometimes we'll, you know, let things fester or we'll ignore things because we hope that it will clear up on its own. But if you don't talk about the thing that's bothering you or the thing that's, you know, becoming an issue for you, there's no way that your partner is going to know how to address it or how to fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so good. Communication is just everything.
Especially at that stage.
Yeah, especially at that stage. You know, like I said, me and my wife, we've been married for 8 years, going on 9 years.
Okay, you keep mentioning that, man.
And has all of that 8 years been perfect?
No, they haven't been perfect. And you know, that's the thing where you just continue to have to practice and keep at you have to realize where the problems are, where the kind of fractures are, and you have to discuss them. When you discuss them, that's you patching up that foundation for it to remain strong. You got to keep practicing things like date nights and, you know, sending my kids with my mom to watch for the weekend and stuff like that, where me and my wife are just together. Because when you don't mow that lawn, that grass is going to get so high to a point where you can't even see out your window anymore.
Well, I want to add to that, because I think another part of it is that you are also focusing on your mindset, because it's so easy in that moment to allow your mindset to become so negative, to allow your mindset to where all you see and all you think about is the negative. And the negative is there. Mm-hmm. But if you're deep in this situation and where you're really struggling with being attractive to your spouse, then you have to look at the positive, because you might just be looking at one thing. But remember, we've been talking about there's a multitude of different things that can attract us. And so are we seeing the positive? Are we allowing the positive? Even though there might only be 10% of positive, let that 10% motivate you to do what you need to do to be obedient to God. So that way God can be continue to work on that person and help them in those different areas. And so now I want to do this, Dane. I want to get your thoughts as a woman. Let's deal with physical attraction first. I mean, let's deal with the superficial. So what do you do? Let's say a woman has this husband, has this man, and he's just a slob. You know, he wasn't always a slob, because she wouldn't have been attracted to it. She wouldn't have married the slob. But now he's a slob. He doesn't really shave. He doesn't, you know, take care of his body. And, you know, so what do you do there?
I would find out the root cause of why he stopped. Because initially he was doing it and something else was motivating him. And I would find out why he lost the motivation to do that. And like, even for example, you know, there have been times in my marriage where I gained weight, and rather than, even though my husband didn't mind my full figure, it bothered me. And because it bothered me, he would work out with me. And we would, you know, develop an eating plan, and we would both stick to it until I was satisfied. He never had the problem with my weight, but I did. And he was part of the solution for me.
Right, right. And what I'm hearing is that we're not just pointing the finger. We're not just saying, well, you're not this and you're not that. And
right.
You're almost like this nagging. And this is, guys can nag too. So listen, if you're a guy, we can nag.
I was just about to say that. Like, the best thing about it is being a support system to your spouse. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just going to come at my wife and be like, hey, you're getting a little round around the edges. You know what I mean? I'm going to make it a point to, like, hey, let's work out together. Let's do something, you know, together to where we can, you know, figure this out with each other.
Let's go to the dentist. Let's check out some Rogaine.
Right, right. But what I'm hearing, though, is it's unique ways. You're prayerful. You're saying, God, how can I positively, in a positive way, impact my marriage? And here's a key word I want to throw out there. If this is you and you're dealing with this situation, is, Lord, I want to be constructive. Mm-hmm. I want my attempts, I want my actions to build up. I want them to be constructive. And so you can have constructive anger. I know a lot of times our anger is destructive, but that's where we have to turn the scenario around. We have to work on constructive frustration, constructive anger. So,
And also, I think you really just have to take into consideration, well, not even just consideration, because this should be the most important thing, is your future with that person. Like when you're married and you have kids and, you know, your spouse she's a great mom. You know what I mean? She's raising your kids a certain way that no other woman's going to raise her. What does it even matter if she's getting a little round? If, you know what I mean? Like, if she's raising your kids a proper way, if she's being the wife, the great homemaker, and being a great spouse to you, what should it matter to you?
I'm with you. I got to step in just a little bit. I'm with you. I agree. But if something is happening that's impacting your romance, that is something to try to be constructive in. So, mind you, I don't think we should be destructive, but if your roundness is causing me not to be as excited when it comes to the romance, because romance is an important part of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, therefore, that shouldn't be something that you shouldn't communicate, because we just talked about communication is important. If his lack of hygiene, amen, come on, y'all. If his lack of hygiene is beginning to, you know, impact, you know, that romance, then she should say something, but it should be in a constructive way.
But you know what, Brian? Yeah. What about those instances where you can't help it? What about, you know, because this is something we never take into consideration. What happens if you get diabetes and lose a toe? What happens if you're in a car accident and lose a limb?
Yes.
What happens if you, you know, have a scar across your face, or, you know, because life happens. And there are people who have, you know, had to survive that in a marriage.
I agree. And that's where you're really asking God, Lord, help me to grow in this area, you know, because that's an area that cannot be controlled. And so I think there is a difference. There's a separation of two. And I'll give two more. Sometimes after birth, a woman can't always help her roundness. And so therefore you as a husband have to be mindful of what's happening. A husband cannot always help his baldness.
Right.
You know, and so I agree. There's that balance where we do need to say, Lord, check my superficial attractions. Lord, help me to build new attractions. But at the same time, I think it's important to have a healthy form of communication where if there is something that is controllable, that you communicate that and you're looking for constructive ways and asking God to give you constructive ways to work on those areas.
That's good. Yeah, because there is a difference.
There's a difference.
There's a difference. I can see that. But I just feel like, I just feel like if you already, you know, if you go into your marriage and you really, you know, really just mind your vows and just really just think on that and really meditate on that, you know, everything else will just kind of work itself out. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is, like, you will kind of have blinders on whatever little things that may be bothering you. Little things that may become into, you know, big things that say, oh, it's making me unattractive. When you really hold on to your vows and everything is going well, your spouse is doing what they're supposed to do, that becomes attractive in itself. Like, man, for me, when my wife got pregnant, that was the most attractive I was to her, like, when we got married for some reason.
Right.
It's strange. I don't know why, but it was just something about that time.
Go ahead, Dana.
No, I was just agreeing with Keontae. That's common. I've heard that numerous times from husbands, that when their wives became pregnant, like, they were the most attractive to them. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's good. Well, do we have any last thoughts as we kind of close? You know, this was a really fun. I really feel like people are going to benefit and be blessed by this entire conversation.
I think it was a good discussion.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dana. I should have said Dana first.
Sorry. No, I just thought it was a good discussion. That's all I had to add.
Okay, Keontae, you have any thoughts?
I would just say, I always come with, like, some lyrical poet.
Okay, because you're a poet, man. You know, that's what poets do.
But I would just say, tell the difference between gold and what is gold plated. And that just means, you know, sometimes when we do get unattracted, it's because we're seeing something else that's attracting us. You know what I mean? So you just have to identify, do I have gold in my wife? Do I have gold in my husband, who's the provider, who's the man of the house? You know what I mean? Or am I following something that's gold-plated?
Is that superficial? Is it just the outside? I think the last thing I want to finish with is this. You might be that person that we described earlier where you're just like, I'm living day after day in hell almost. And I, or it doesn't have to be that bad. You're just like, I just am not attracted. I don't find anything attractive about my spouse anymore. You think they're a great person, but your love life and your attraction for them is completely gone. I just want to leave with this on top of everything that we said and great steps you can take to get that back. And it's this: God is able. We always have to remember, no matter how bad a situation is, no matter how tough it is, God is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. And so if you're listening to this, you need to remind yourself that there is hope even when you see no hope. Mm-hmm. So we'll end with that. Dana, do you mind closing us in prayer?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time together. We pray, God, that something said will bless someone to stick with their relationship, to examine their hearts, that you would cause marriages to stay intact and to build love, communication, endurance, and strength. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Until next time, enjoy yourself. What you come for? Stand up, put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. We're in the house of the Lord. Yeah, what you come for? Come on, stand up, put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. Place I'd rather be, or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function when a body